Janma karma chame divyam evam yo pati tatvatah tyaktva deham purnar janma naiti mam eti sarjana janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. Tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. Thank you everyone for coming. I know it's extremely hot. That means you're all very, very special to come on such a hot day. Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha, also. Me, of mine. Divyam, transcendental. Evam, like this. Ya, anyone who. Veti, knows. Tatvatah, in reality. Tyaktva, leaving aside. Deham, this body. Puna, again. Janma, birth. Na, never. Eti, does attain. Mam, unto me. Eti, does attain. Sa, he. Arjuna, O Arjuna, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurakto, Bhakta Vyapi Hridayantar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in the verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can without a doubt attain liberation. Ms. Gargamuni, I don't know if he was listening to class and he wanted to add something. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. This is from the Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up, mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naitimam eti swarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The other day I was circumambulating in Prabhupada Samadhi, and I happened to notice a verse up on the wall. So I made a copy of it. And this is a very nice verse helping us to understand this other verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Ete kamsa kala pumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam midriyanti yuge yuge. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. We also realize that when the Lord incarnates, he also kills demons. But of course, that's one aspect of Krishna in his expansions, just as Krishna was enjoying in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, which is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan, the Vrindavan that we are in. Just as Krishna expands, where he can simultaneously satisfy every gopi within the Rasa Lila. And of course, this is a very, very deep understanding. That's why when one understands this, he achieves liberation by this understanding, to understand the lila of Bhagavan, the ability of Bhagavan. I was told the other day, it was actually from Gargamuni, he was explaining to me, I think it was during Bhakti Siddhanta's time, that a Catholic priest had come to Vrindavan. And he was going around to many residents and asking the question, how is it that Krishna would enjoy with so many other men's wives? Please answer this question. And nobody in Vrindavan at that time could answer that question. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, because they're all neophytes. How powerful is Bhaktisiddhanta? He can say that. So it is very important for us to read and understand this philosophy. And I've been giving some classes in South India also. We were discussing this. We were discussing about memorizing verses. When I was reciting that verse, I was watching your lips. You knew that verse, right? Huh? You've memorized these verses. This is very important. Because we never know who will come up to us and ask us a very deep philosophical question. There's such a misunderstanding of Krishna and Krishna's Leela in all of India. They think of it as a mundane activity. Because those who are on the bodily platform of life, how can they be expected to understand such a transcendental science? So it's explained here in this verse that one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance does not upon leaving this body take birth again. So just to understand that is a stage of liberation where one achieves the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as we know it, Goloka Vrindavan, is not easily attainable. Samahatma Sudurlabaha, such a great soul, is very rare to understand Krishna, to understand Vasudev. Arjuna was showing apprehension. The whole conversation with Arjuna was his misunderstanding of who Krishna was. Of course, this was a Leela. This is Arjuna, one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. But for our benefit, these questions were being asked and these answers were being given. So for Krishna to be able to simultaneously satisfy all of the gopis, what to speak of in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is satisfying all the quadrillion, trillion, million, unlimited, infinite souls in his interaction with them in that Leela. So the Supreme Lord is like the sun, and then there's millions and millions of mirrors reflecting the sun. Or there's the candle, and millions and trillions, of course, in infinite amounts of candles that are all lit by the original candle, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, the original person. Now, how about all the incarnations that are possibly being sent to all the billions of universes, throughout all the billions of solar systems, throughout his creation? So that is Krishna's power. But people will say, you know, we have this transition of starting with what? Atheism, right? People who are atheists have no belief in God at all. Then we have people who have faith in God. And we have Western philosophers and metaphysicists who will inquire about a higher power. They want to know about a higher power. Finally, in their Western methods of trying to understand and through all of their reasonings and logic, they come to a conclusion, yes, there is a higher power. Then when they come to the understanding of a higher power or God, they go, well, there's a higher power, but who created the higher power? Who created God? So then there's even more trepidation, more doubt. Still not purely understanding. Then there's the Mayavadis. The wonderful Mayavadis that are pervading every aspect of society, whether it be materialistic or the understanding of the all-compassing Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, the all-oneness of everything, without at all understanding the personal aspect of Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So their only hope is to get merging into the Brahman or Brahma Jyoti, which, who else gets that liberation? You know who else gets that liberation? Demons. We see in Krishna Leela, when Krishna cuts off their head or sucks out the life of Putana, that they get the same liberation as a demon. And Mayavadis are basically atheists. Is there any question in that? That a Mayavadi, a person who believes in Brahman, or we're all Brahman, we're all one, we're all God? That is the original reason why the Jivatma, which is Tatashta Shakti, which is of that energy of the Lord, that can be with the Lord, or captivated somehow or another by this very extreme matra sparsasta konteya sitoshna sukha dukha da agamapi payino nityas tamstikshastra bharata. The pain of the material world, the happiness, the distress, the heat, the cold, where Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that that is perceived by the senses. So there are so many levels of advancement, but Krishna says the highest one who is the one who understands my appearance, the transcendental nature of my appearance, the transcendental nature of my incarnation, and upon leaving his body from this world, attains my kingdom. So that has a very high realization. Because there are even people that say, but how can God take a human body? We're human. How can God take a human body? Right? God, Sri Krishna, Bhagawan, has created 8,400,000 species of life, from the lowest to the highest demigods to Lord Brahma, including the Purusha avatars and the plenary portions, as we explained here. So everything is created by Krishna. That's how powerful he is. But the illusion is so strong in this material world that one even who's becoming a regulated bhakta, a sadhana bhakta, he goes through different periods of feeling very euphoric. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada was once asked by an Indian man, your devotees, they go very high, but then they also go very down. How is that possible? Prabhupada said, they are imitation devotees. Imitation devotees? Am I an imitation devotee? No, because I'd never think I'm a devotee. Do we think we're devotees? Are we attempting to try to be a devotee? That is what we're trying to do. The material energy is so strong that no matter how much realization you're getting, as Prabhupada explains, I think in this verse or in the Bhagavatam verse, that the only hope of getting out of this entanglement of the material world by the mercy of the pure devotee. Only by the mercy of the pure devotee. So those who think they're pure devotees, those who think they're very elevated, this is an illusion. We go and we bounce from one illusion to another in this material world, like children. One day a child is playing with one toy. Another day a child's playing with another toy. He's thinking one toy is better than another toy. One day he's sad, one day he's happy. We're children. It doesn't matter how many years we're devotee. We are always 100% dependent on the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who has the capability of taking us back to Godhead by simply following his instructions and reading his books. Now many people are looking to read many other books. Isn't it? Have you heard of that? Have you seen that? How many books are in this room? Almost all are about Prabhupada or by Prabhupada, right? Everybody in this room, have you all read every one of Srila Prabhupada's books? No? 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 Then why do we need to read any other books? Who was it that came and incarnated as a Shaktivesh avatar by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world to spend every hour possible sleeping, never, because pure devotees don't sleep because they're never unconscious. Their body may rest. To translate all of these books for us? I have to say I've probably read at least once over 95% of Prabhupada's books, because there's some books that I never heard about, because some of them came out later. One devotee found a book of Prabhupada's, I think, in the 80s. So I'm going to be reading that today. I just got it today. But in general, I read, because when we were devotees, every time Prabhupada printed a book, we read it. As soon as the book was printed, we read it. That's the first thing we did. We were lucky. But we should think like that. And Prabhupada said, read one chapter per day is very nice. I have that quote from Srila Prabhupada. One chapter per day. Because he spent his whole leela in this world for us, translating and giving the most amazing purports. Nobody has ever given translations like this, nor purports. Prabhupada was an amazing scholar who excelled even within his schools as a Sanskrit scholar. And I was in South India recently, and somebody showed me a verse that all the scholars are examining of Prabhupada's. It was an amazing verse. I should have, I think maybe they sent me a copy of it. But they said they'd never seen somebody translate this verse ever in history. And this is South India, you know, the scholars, so many sampradayas. They'd never seen anybody translate the verse so expertly. That is because Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He knows Krishna. I always give the example, if you're driving down the road and you want to get somewhere, you see a man and you ask him directions. He goes, well, I think it might be there, or maybe you take a left. No, no, I think a right. And you say, okay, thank you. And you drive to the next man. Okay, like a guru. Then you drive to the next man. He goes, oh yes, I know. You go straight down the road about 100 yards and you make a left and I don't know. I think after, why don't you ask over there? And you have one man, he gives you directions. Go 100 yards straight. Make a left. First left, 100 feet, on your left, that's where you're going. Don't you feel confidence there? When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll feel confidence that Srila Prabhupada knows exactly what he's talking about, purely and perfectly. He gives us that direction. He changes our lives. He changes our lives. Our whole lives are changed. How many Bhagavad Gita's I read before Srila Prabhupada's? Six? How many you read? Never? Only that one. Nice, huh? How about anyone else? I always like to make it interactive. You know, it keeps us awake too, especially in this heat. Huh? You ever read any other Bhagavad Gitas? Just Prabhupada's. Then how you know this is the perfect one? Why are you not trying other ones? Huh? Tadvadi pranipatena paraiprasnena sevaya ampa evam parampara praptam disciplic succession. You see, I read the Bhagavad Gita in one night after a devotee gave it to me and I joined the next day. Because I put it down and I said, he knows God. He knows Krishna. It was very simple to understand that. There's no ambiguity. There's no man saying, I think this, I think that. Maybe it represents this. Maybe it symbolizes that. It was straight. It was forward. It's just like a man who cooks. If you ask him how to make it, he can tell you right then and there, and you can go and you can duplicate that perfectly. In fact, in Madras, the devotees asked me, we had a big program for Prabhupada in Madras in 76, and they asked me to cook, and I said, no, it's for Prabhupada, I want it to be perfect. So I served Prabhupada, and we brought him the chapatis, and I brought him the first chapati, he touched it like this. He said, no, 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 that is not chapati. So I ran back and I said to the devotee, he said, it's not chapati, it's not hot. So he made it very quickly, it puffed up, right? Fulka, puffed up. Ran to Prabhupada, put it on his plate, already was flat, he touched it. He says, no, no, that is not chapati, that is not hot. So next time I took the chapati, it was puffed up like a puri, I slid across the marble, I put it on Prabhupada's plate, he put a hole in it, the steam came out, he said, ah, that is chapati. Chapati means hot. Poked it, the steam came out. So what did he teach me? How to make a chapati. Because he knew what a chapati should be. Life is simple, it's not complicated. So I went to Vrindavan the other day, I was trying to get some coloring books for my children. My grandchildren, not children, I have grandchildren. There's these nice coloring books of Krishna and Ganesh and Hanuman for young children. Shows them how to color, very simple. South India, I got some also. My God, the store was four times this size. He had another store across the street. He had maybe thousands and thousands of books on philosophy. I would be confused. Do you know how many ways there are to make a chapati? About four. Right? You have tawa chapati. You have tandoori chapati. Maybe four. Fulka. You know? Without oil, not paratha. So, how complicated spiritual life is, that's why everybody's so confused. Everybody's confused. So many sampradayas, so many tilaks. I met the Pejwar Swami doing his puja on Shalagram. Very favorable. he says ISKCON is a branch. We're Madhva, right? Madhva Sampradaya. Actually, we're Madhavendra Puri Sampradaya. You see, we come from Madhva because of Krishna. But as a devotee told me the other day, but Prabhu, there's no pleasure potency. No Radha. You know? No Radha. Lord Chaitanya's mercy within the Sampradaya, the six Goswamis introducing Radharani. Then you come to Vrindavan. Radhe, 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 Radhe. What does that mean? What does Radhe, Radhe, Radhe mean? I want to enjoy the pleasure potency but not serve Krishna. I want to enjoy. Where is Krishna? Krishna, Radha, Krishna, Radha, Radha, Krishna. One without the other, inseparable. The highest philosophy brought to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by our Sampradaya and by Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta. So whenever somebody says Radhe, Radhe, I go Hare Krishna. That means Hare means Radhe, Krishna. When my wife, she loves Radharaman, and we go to Radharaman, and I say, so who is that? She says, Radharaman. I go, where's Radha? She says, oh my God, where's Radha? I say, see how Radha is so chaste, so covered, you can't even see her. But that is the pleasure potency. It's not to be exposed everywhere. Radha, Radha, Radha. She's so chaste. She's not going to expose her pleasure potency to the bhakta without Krishna being satisfied, because she's the greatest servant of Krishna. So this philosophy is simple, but a little complicated. How can Krishna be a tortoise? How can Krishna be a fish? How can Krishna be a lion? Krishna is everything. Krishna is in the heart of every species. And Krishna can make whatever he wants to make. By his mercy, he comes for the devotees to save them from this hellish situation. Now what's going on? What's going on in every country in the world, from wars to droughts to heat? 150 years, this is the worst heat wave in India in 150 years. Because one devotee told me, actually Gargamuni, he said, Shravananda, this is India. Every avatar comes to India. Have you heard an avatar coming to New York other than Srila Prabhupada? Shaktavash avatar going to New York? Nobody went to New York. No avatar. They come to India. In Kanpur, they have the highest number of leather factories, tanneries, of anywhere in India. And they're dumping the remains into the Ganges. Do you think the Lord is pleased? Do you think the devatas are pleased? No. It's just the worst sin. And the reason it's the worst sin is because this is India. India is the purest place on the planet. But Kali Yuga has in full force. And Prabhupada was disgusted when he left India, because the desire to be Mayavadi is prevalent everywhere. Right? To be God. Isn't that why we dropped into this horrible cesspool called the material world that we love so much? You see people with their cell phones enjoying so much. 120 degrees. Look at my cell phone. Two SIM cards. Two cell phones. Driving. Looking at the cell phone. What are they looking at? Are they seeing a video of Krishna? And then you see them looking and they're smiling as the car hits them. This is common in America. They're texting. You know what texting is? Do you know? Texting. Good. They're sending a message one letter at a time. Is that progress? What is so much fun about? You have a phone to talk. Why do you have to one letter at a time? Oh, that's so much fun. Do you remember the telegrams? You might remember. I remember in the early days of India. You don't know, right? Telegram. You know what a telegram was? It was done by a series of dashes and dots called Morse code. Beep, 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 beep. That's like texting. Nobody's making progress. They're going backwards. You have a phone, talk on it. What is this texting? At least when you're talking, there's less chance of accidents. They have people with cameras in their car watching somebody get killed because they're texting. They're not thinking of their driving. It's against the law in America. So what is everybody so much fun about in this world? So much distractions of nonsense. My God, you get on the internet, forget about it. Your life is ruined. Unless you go to watch Prabhupada. But there's so much distractions. So to understand the transcendental appearance of the Supreme Lord, how He has the capability to come. I mean, He's right here now, isn't He? Do you see Him? Do you see the Supreme Lord anywhere? In the temple? Only? Everywhere? How is He different in the wall or in your heart? Same? You see, the Supreme Lord incarnates as Kshir Daksha Vishnu is Paramatma in the heart of every living being. And also in the heart of every living being is the Jivatma, struggling like two birds on a tree, struggling to get out of this material world. I don't see the wall struggling to become a devotee because there's no Jivatma there. The Lord is in there in His other potencies because He's everywhere. But very specially, why do people say Namaskar? Namaste. What does that mean? Are you offering to Paramatma in the heart? And to the Jivatma, which is a portion of the Paramatma? The Jivatma? So, everything's being lost. It's very sad. When we used to come 45 years ago, we would swim in the Ganges. I sailed on the Ganges. We floated on the Jamuna. When it was very, very shallow, we would lay in the Jamuna, maybe it was this high, before the rains. But we'd always make sure our head was facing the current coming. Our feet, we wouldn't point towards the beginning of the Jamuna. And the water was crystal clear. Look what they have done to the holiest of the holiest of holiest places. Do you remember that year with the floods in Kedarnath and all the holy places? More and more bad things are coming. Less food will be there. So it's very important to understand this philosophy. Very important to understand the appearance of the Supreme Lord. How He comes. How He sends His Shaktivesh avatar. This is not a... until the spirituality is manifest, everyone within the society must understand themselves to be Krishna's dog and to be servant of the servant of the servant instead of trying to be God. You see? If you try to be God, it is spelled G-O-D, you're actually D-O-G. If you try to be D-O-G, then actually, that is how you experience your godliness. Meaning the qualitative aspect of the Supreme Lord, which pleases Krishna the greatest, which is your constitutional position. Jivar Swarupoi, Krishna Nityadas. So we see here and there those who want to be servant. We see that's an entrapment who want to be gods. We have to have more dasanu dasanu das daso shmi, Bhakti Siddhanta said. He's servant of His own disciples. So it's very important to read these books. Everywhere I go, memorize verses, read these books, make it a pledge that I will finish all of Srila Prabhupada's books. See, if we don't set a goal, we won't try to achieve the goal. And every once in a while, we'll think we have a few minutes, we might read something. Now in America, I have an insurance business, so I purposely have taken my work to make money where I can drive 7 hours a day. Because those 7 hours, I'm listening to Prabhupada and there's nobody in the car. I've given books to agents and I share it. In fact, one agent, he was military, I gave him Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita and I did some work with him and he got in the car and he turned on his radio. He says, "Hey Dan, what do you think of this?" And there was Prabhupada. So he actually had Prabhupada for me. But if you drive around, you can listen to Prabhupada all day long. Hear His transcendental pure voice. Has anybody ever heard any Sampradaya Acharya actually heard their voice before? This is an amazing opportunity to get the transcendental sound vibration of Srila Prabhupada and listen to it. You know, he has his earphones on, right? He's listening to Prabhupada, right? Is he? Listening to Prabhupada. So everybody can get headphones, earphones, put it in your car and listen when you're driving. In fact, I used to have to drive 470 miles. You know how many kilometers that is? It's, I don't know, 700 kilometers. Just listening to Prabhupada nonstop. Sometimes I forgot to go to the bathroom. All day long listening to Prabhupada. So if we can't read, we can hear. And Prabhupada says, when we come to the Holy Dham, what's the most important thing we should do? Shravanam. My name is Shravanananda. Somebody spelled it wrong. They put Sarvana or something. It's Shravanananda. So many people are saying, I'm going on this pilgrimage. I'm going on this Tirtha. I'm going to this holy place. I was down in South India. I saw every holy place. I saw Madhva's birthplace. I saw where Madhva put his foot down and his big footprint and this. I tell everybody, this is my Tirtha. This is my Tirtha. This is my medicine. You can take a full Tirtha with Harinam. Not so hot. Not so tedious. So that's the most important thing in the holy places, chanting and hearing. One fellow across the street, he has taxis. He's a young fellow, very nice. He's really, truly a devotee, across from Ananda Krishnavan. I was talking to him one day. He says, I'm going to Bunki Bihari. Then I went to Govardhan on pilgrimage. I said, do you chant Hare Krishna? He goes, I try. I go, if you chant 16 rounds every day, you never have to travel to any holy place again. You have the holy place on your tongue. So when you come to the holy place, if everybody chants, you watch how Vrindavan will change too. Now people are making it commercial and come. Vrindavan is always Vrindavan. I'm not trying to ever in any way minimize Vrindavan. But Prabhupada said someday you will not be able to recognize Vrindavan. Doesn't mean it's not Vrindavan. We won't be able to recognize it. I came here in 1973. When did you first come? 90. Back in 73, it was a true village of the Goswami's temples. 65. Amazing, wasn't it? You didn't know about it, right? All the Goswami temples. At night, you would hear the temples chanting, the bells, the ringing. That was the only thing that was going on, was the simple Vrindavan of Krishna's time, of the Goswami's time. It's still there, and it will always be there. But we must help it to be maintaining itself to everyone, not abuse it, not throw garbage anywhere, not throw all the garbage in the Jamuna. Now they're using aluminum foil plates for Jamuna Puja at Keshi Ghat every night that don't deteriorate. You know, like clay cups would deteriorate, leaf cups would deteriorate. Now Jamuna's full of downriver, these big piles of aluminum little bowls. So we have to go back to the original things, get rid of the plastic bags. But the most important thing to understand, as this verse has said, that when we understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance, and Krishna's my appearance. So somebody comes along and they say they're avatar. Prabhupada explains that Krishna reveals to Arjuna the Virata Rupa, the universal form. This proves, because he's showing everything is from him, everything is within him, everything is him in the Virata Rupa. Brahma, the demigods, the destruction, the war being won, the soldiers being killed, everything was under the will of the Supreme Lord. Who can say that? They say they're avatars. So many cheap avatars. Every block there's an avatar in India. Right? So many avatars. But first of all, real avatars are explained in the scriptures, who their mother will be, who their father will be, what town they will be born in, what city they'll be born in. Even Lord Chaitanya's coming was mentioned, his mother is Sachi. all mentioned. I forget the name of the scriptures, but it's all mentioned ahead of time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very special incarnation. Very special. So, let us continue studying, continue reading, continue understanding the cross-referencing. When I was giving a class in South India, I said, if you just look in the index under spiritual master or disciplic succession, that is how we understand the importance of choosing the right spiritual master who will actually plant the bhakti lata bij within our heart, who actually has the power to save us so we're not cheated. So many people are going to Babaji's now. So many Babaji's are there. So Prabhupada warned us not to go to Babaji's, but they go. Prabhupada said, why you read any other books? When we would go to Gaudiya Math, we asked Prabhupada, when we go, can we get one of Bhakti Siddhanta's books? He says, only Brahma Samhita. You won't understand anything else. So Prabhupada gave us everything. Everything is here. This library is full of Srila Prabhupada's books. If you haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're missing an amazing ecstasy. If you haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam, you're missing the powerhouse of our Sampradaya. If you haven't finished the Bhagavad Gita, then you shouldn't read anything else. That is the base of our Sampradaya, is the Bhagavad Gita. And the only way that it's been translated and written to change lives. So that Bhagavad Gita is not supposed to ever be changed. That is Prabhupada's pride. I mean, the original Bhagavad Gita, if you see the Macmillan Gita with the beautiful color paintings, and large, it stood out. When I went looking for Bhagavad Gitas, there were black covers, there were no paintings, their purports were confusing, they were using comparisons and analogies and poetic language. Didn't change my life. I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, put it down, next day joined. Because I knew that he knew Krishna. Krishna was speaking to him. Krishna was, every word in his books have come from Krishna. Every word in his books have come from Krishna. Prabhupada explains that. So let's make an attempt to study as much as possible. 5, 10, 15 minutes every day. Some verses. Put in the bookmark. Come back the next day. This will really give us the strength to push on the Sampradaya. To convince us so that we can fully understand the Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Because most people come to a very high level of realization. And they go, but how can God do this? How can Krishna do that? They still can't understand it. And that's why at our stage in our spiritual development, we shouldn't be delving in to the intimate aspects of Rasa Leela and Krishna and the gopis. Because our mundane mind will project mundane thoughts. If we haven't read all of Prabhupada's books, how can we go jumping to Rasa Leela? Want to know what our Sarup is? Oh, this Babaji says, I'll tell you what your Swami hasn't told you. And I say, did you come to America? Did you come to America and live the way Prabhupada lived in New York to change everybody's lives? If you did that, then I'll maybe listen to you. Now there's a Madhwa Swami who loves Prabhupada and he said, I want to go to America too. And they said, no, you can't go. You can't go on a boat. You can't cross the ocean. He said, if Swami Prabhupada can do it, I'm going to do it. And he did it. And they exiled him from Madhwa Sampradaya. You see, so this is what Prabhupada did. He sacrificed everything. He had a beautiful room looking out, Rupa Goswami Samadhi. And all he did was prepare himself to follow the order of his spiritual master to change the world. And he did change the world. Everywhere you go, everybody sang Hare Krishna. When we first came to Vrindavan, everybody wasn't saying Hare Krishna. There were many other things being chanted, but not Hare Krishna. Do you know that? You see it now in Vrindavan. Everybody says, what do they say to you? Rikshawala? Hare Krishna? Hari Bol? Hare Krishna? Okay, it's for money, it's to capture your attention. But still, they're saying Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, Hare Rama. However they say Rama, Sinarama. You know, has the word Rama in it. There's hotels with the word Rama in it. The word Rama has the full force of everything incarnated in the name. Hurry up. People say, hurry up. They have a little accent in some place in America. They don't say, hurry up. They say, hurry up. So they're lucky. Hare Krishna is famous all over the world. Hare Krishna here, Hare Krishna there. Who did that? Did some Babaji do that? Did some other guru do that? Who did that? Who spread Hare Krishna all over the world? Jai Prabhupada, right? So let's read these books. They're all here staring at us. In every language. No excuse. Finish Bhagavad Gita nicely. Memorize a few verses. Then if you want, nectar devotion. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There you go. But all these books being written by all these cheaters, they haven't done a thing, they haven't changed lives. They tell everybody, they make them into gopis, they put on saris, they put on lipstick. You know that goes on in places in this Vrindavan area? To imitate a gopi? You know how offensive that is? We're not talking about a drama, we're talking about imitators. Don't even talk about Rasa Leela. You haven't read Bhagavad Gita, you haven't read Bhagavatam, you haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is very important. It's very important. One who knows the transcendental nature. And how will you know the transcendental nature? Do you know how you'll know? You can speak up, you can yell, you can shout. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. And Prabhupada explains about following a simple formula. Not a lot of breathing. Brahma Samhita says those people that drill their respiration, that perform pranayama, that try to raise their kundalini, that try to go out the top of their head called the Brahmananda, that try to enter into the abode of God are pierced by the tridents surrounding. Tridents surrounding Goloka Vrindavan mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So you think Durga is going to allow? She's the warden. You can't get out of the prison house. You can't get out of this prison house. So do you worship Durga? Please let me out of the prison house. How many people worship Durga? Now all respects to Durga. Who is Durga? Durga is Vaishnava Devi. Greatest Vaishnavi. Greatest servant of Krishna. We worship Lord Shiva too. Is the greatest Vaishnava. The greatest servant of Krishna. So Durga is the warden. She's been appointed by the Supreme Lord. She is worshipable. But if you worship her without worshiping Krishna, she's not pleased. If you go to a man's house and you give too much attention to the wife, Krishna is not pleased. Husband is not pleased. But if you give all attention to the husband, the wife is very pleased. Right? Speak nicely about the husband. He's such a nice man. So, to please Durga, please Krishna, please Radha. Servant of the servant of the servant. Then automatically Durga is so pleased, she'll release you. She says, no, you have become a nice devotee, no problem. So many people all over India will worship Ma and Kali and Durga. Kali, Ma and Durga are not pleased by that worship directly to them. They want to see you worshiping Krishna. Then they're pleased. The female aspect of the Supreme Lord manifested in so many different ways based on the various modes will be pleased. Radha will be pleased when you satisfy Krishna. Then she'll give you the greatest pleasure. But don't imitate. Please read Prabhupada's books. If you don't read Prabhupada's books, there'll be too much sentimentality. You know what sentimentality is? It's not understanding the philosophy. Prabhupada spent every second, every minute, and everybody's lives have been changed because of these books. They've read something. Everybody's read something, right? Or you wouldn't be here. But now you must really study it. Otherwise, how can you understand something like this? How can you understand this verse? Very powerful. But you cannot be released without the mercy of the pure devotee. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. He will be pleased. You will be happy. Are there any questions? Please ask questions. Doesn't mean I can answer them, but ask them. Someone else can answer them. They may know better than me. You have a question. I know you have a question. What is your question? I told you, I knew it.
This is kind of an applied to what you're saying.
Huh.
You're saying like a lot of people in the dog and they say Radhe Radhe, and they want to enjoy. But I think a father or someone told me that please Radha Rani, it's easier to please her than to please Krishna. So if you please her, she'll ask Krishna to give you some mercy and then you'll give Krishna mercy. Krishna is very hard to please. If you please his body, he'll be easy to please. That's why you ask for Radha Rani's mercy.
Krishna's not hard to be pleased at all.
See,
this is Vrindavan, right?
Yeah.
How do you please Krishna? That is the question, right? Basically. Who is Srila Prabhupada? He is the most loved pure devotee of Krishna. If you please the spiritual master, Krishna is very pleased. And I don't know about pleasing Radha or Krishna separately. I didn't know there was so much separateness. Right? You please Radha, then Krishna's pleased. You please Krishna, then Radha's pleased. You please the pure devotee, all the aspects of the spiritual world are pleased. That's why we say servant of the servant of the servant. Now, if you see other Vaishnavas who are sincere to Srila Prabhupada and you please them, then isn't that even more pleasing? Krishna is always pleased. Krishna is enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan. Right? What is the question of accessibility to any of us? Do you think Krishna is going to change his enjoyment for any of us? And by pleasing the spiritual master, the pure devotee, and he's pleased, then isn't Krishna and Radha both pleased? I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me. See, when we come to Vrindavan, I came to Vrindavan, stayed in a hut, and I didn't have too many people telling me too many things. We would drive down the road, there would be the Ram Bhaktas. They're one ashram. All night, 24 hours, Ram, 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 Sita Ram, Sita Ram. Very nice bhaktas. Right? We would hear them and we would always feel very nice. And then we would go to three or four of the main temples because we had no temple here. Right? But we were always very careful who to associate with. Because many people, like in the old days, if you had a watch, that's the first thing they looked at. Nice watch. Oh, very nice watch. Right? So you're a Westerner. You brought the West. And they wanted to make you their disciple. They wanted to make you their follower. So we just had nothing to do with anyone. We did our service. We went to Radha Raman, Madan Mohan, Radha Ballabha, Radha Damodar. And Prabhupada warned us everywhere we went. He protected us. So when you come here, it'll start with that. And then it'll be, you know, if you want to please Radha, then we'll tell you your, what's that term they use about the Swarup? So what is Swarup? Jiva Swarup. Jiva Swarupai. Where's Jiva? Oh, are you Gopi? Are you Cowherd Boy? Are you, Peacock? The reason I say this is because I was with somebody who fell down because they were associating with the Babaji's in Radhakund. You see, if you don't read Prabhupada's books, what will you have to hold on to? There are so many interesting things here. There's so many gurus and so many Babaji's and so many philosophies. Oh, your guru hasn't taught you this? I'll teach you this. Right? So loyalty to Prabhupada will come from reading his books. Because then you'll be so satisfied, you won't need anything else. There's nothing else you need. We've come this far. He only read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Have you gone to anyone else? No need, right? When you have guru, if you're married for 50 years, you need anyone else? He's, no. I'm married 35 years. So, you don't go looking anywhere else. That is Vedic. Prabhupada said changing, everybody changing, going here, trying this, tasting that, experiencing this. You know, where is the old customs of loyalty? We're here in Prabhupada's temple, ISKCON temple. Prabhupada is right there, non-different in his deity. He told one South Indian pundit that. You know, before he left, he broke all rules of Sampradaya. He had a deity of himself before he even left this world. Left our vision. He knew what he was doing though. He knows who he is. He told us, you would be amazed if you knew who I was. You have the best thing, but you won't know that if you don't read Prabhupada's books and you don't listen to his transcendental sound vibration. I don't care if you don't even listen to what Prabhupada's saying, but you just hear the sound of his voice. It's like being in a chamber of purely understanding the spiritual world just from the sound vibration. You know? Just the sound vibration. Of course, you should listen to the words. But Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada singing from the spiritual world, that happening album, Banda Hymn. So I understand what you're saying, you know, but we have to read Prabhupada's books. Because if you please Prabhupada, Radha and Krishna are very pleased. I really believe that. It's stated in the books. Prabhupada continues mentioning time after time after time after time about the pure devotee, what he's capable of doing. I live in the same building with Garga Muni. I spend many hours with him. All his quotes come from Prabhupada. Right? Conversation books. Also very nice. If you've read Prabhupada's books or simultaneously, read the conversations, read the letters. Oh boy. Read the letters. Then you really understand how strict Prabhupada was about things. You know, and Prabhupada was very sad when people were reading all these books and writing all these other books. They're not pure devotees. How much can they write? When people haven't read Prabhupada's books and you have a choice of another 100 different books, oh, this devotee just did this and that one. You know, I have on my Kindle every one of Bhaktisiddhanta's and Bhaktivinoda's books. I didn't want it. I asked somebody to download Prabhupada's books and they put everything down there. I don't even know who... I don't know anything about them. I've never had one interest to read one of them. Not because I have any disrespect for them. Right? But it's because I need to understand Prabhupada's books, his approach, his writing, his sweet way of presenting the highest realization of love of God. I read Brahma Samhita because Prabhupada told me that you can read that. And you know, if you're that scholarly, okay, read something. But in general, we should simply, if we have not finished every one of Srila Prabhupada's books that he spent his whole life for us, then we shouldn't look at any other books. Well, you can look at the cover, but don't waste your time. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but it's just that Prabhupada has given us all this. I mean, if you just read some of these verses, some of them, look at these purports, you know, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, they're many, many pages, and they're amazing. You could read them over and over and over again. And you know how many times I've memorized and read Janma Karma Chame Divyam and read the purport, and every time I read it, I get more realizations? So it's not about being an intellect. It's about bhakti. And the more you read it, the more pleasurable it will be and more realizations will come and the more strong your conviction will be. And that's what this verse is about. It's about conviction of who Krishna is and how Krishna comes and what Krishna does. And that same thing applies to the Shaktivesh avatar such as Srila Prabhupada. Because if you don't have full faith in Srila Prabhupada as a Sampradaya Acharya, you don't know who he is, and you're not reading his books, then something is missing. That's okay. You'll have your link to the Sampradaya. That's okay. You can have a link to the Sampradaya. That's what this Sampradaya is. Every Sampradaya is having a link to the Sampradaya with Harinam and Gayatri. But these are Prabhupada's books. They weren't just for me. They're for every generation for 10,000 years. Any disagreement? Any questions? You have a question? No? Comment. And how do you please Radharani? Couldn't hear you. Without pleasing Guru, you can never please Radha and Krishna directly. You see, when you're offering any prasad, the system is, according to Srila Prabhupada, is you first offer to Prabhupada and the disciplic succession. They are the manjaris. They are the servants of Radharani. And you can't ever please Radharani directly without first pleasing her servants. Yeah, they're on the altar too in our disciplic succession, of course. So it's not that we don't want to please Radharani, but it's how we please Radharani. And we can never, ever, ever in our fallen conditioned state please Radharani. If you have a mother, right, and you're a man, and you want her to be pleased, do you try to please her? You go to her child, pat him on the head, give him some candy, hold his hand. Oh, the mother is so pleased, isn't she? This is our chain that we go through. I have no hope to ever eternally pleasing Radharani without pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And I have no hope of pleasing Srila Prabhupada without also pleasing his devotees. And there will be devotees of Srila Prabhupada in this disciplic succession for thousands of years. So it's das anu das anu das. That is very pleasing. If we go out and we distribute 100, 200 books, but we come back and smack another Prabhu in the face, is that pleasing to Radharani? Say, oh Radharani, I distributed 100 books. Oh Prabhu, shut up. And slap him. And you call Prabhu? So really, our Gaudiya Vaishnavism is very amazing. It's a very simple process. It's called gravity. You can't fight gravity, right? Gravity always keeps us down. Keeps us low. We don't float away. Gravity keeps us. So gravity for a Vaishnava is very important. To be a simple servant. And chanting the holy name nicely and hearing the holy name, it's the most pleasing thing to Prabhupada, most pleasing thing to Radharani. In fact, Prabhupada has always mentioned on our altars that we worship Lakshmi Narayan. We worship Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Yeah, that's because of Prabhupada's mercy and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, before this, nobody knew about Radharani. Madhva doesn't accept Radharani the way we do, and Sri Sampradaya. You know, the head of Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja, you know, Lakshmi Narayan. So, Radha is serving Krishna. We are also Prakriti, Krishna's Purusha. So we don't serve Radharani directly. We always have to serve Radharani through the mercy of the spiritual master. I don't know of any case where we can serve Radharani directly. I can't offer prasadam ever directly to Radharani. In fact, I just read, maybe in the Gita today or yesterday, that we can offer prasadam simply by reciting the pranam mantras to our guru. Right? Yeah. Complete offering. So we're not mentioning Radharani. We're not doing anything. We're offering to our guru who offers to Radharani. That's the chain of command. Right? We have a chain of command in our disciplic succession. But I know everybody would love to have a direct relationship with Radharani. You know why? Because that's why we're here in the material world. We were envious of Krishna enjoying. Right? We were envious. We came here to try to be Krishna. And while everybody's here being Krishna, what do they want to have? They want to have their own Radharanis. How can you enjoy anything in this material world? It's all Krishna's. That's why if you serve everything of Krishna's, Radha and Krishna are pleased by serving the spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the importance of this relationship to the spiritual master, to serve him as good as God. As good as God. But Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master is not God, but he is to be accepted as good as God. So for somebody to be accepted as good as God, doesn't he have to be a very, very special pure devotee? So that is how we make progress. And you may have your link to the Sampradaya, and by serving your guru, and them serving Prabhupada, that's how we serve. So I say Hare Krishna when somebody says Radhe Radhe. You have to understand that's a different mindset here than our Sampradaya. Prabhupada never said Radhe Radhe, did he? Have you ever heard anything in a morning walk? Prabhupada always said Hare Krishna. Many mantras are there, many other things are there. Radha and Krishna are always together. Is that correct or no? The only time Sita separated from Ram is when Ravana tricked her. Do you remember? No, I didn't say about that. Do you remember when Lakshman had to leave, he built a circle of protection around Sita? And Ravana wanted to get Sita? So he came as a Shiva sadhu, asking, I think, for some alms or water, tricking Sita to come outside the circle of protection. See, so Ravana is always trying to steal Sita. Trying. Yes. This was all Leela. We can be protected by Guru as long as we follow his instructions. Huh? Then we are protected. Yes, then we are protected. Prabhupada said, I make a pledge to save you as long as you follow my instructions and you're chanting 16 rounds. He made a simple, we call it a warranty. Right? In America, you have a warranty. You can purchase a warranty. You buy a refrigerator. You buy an air conditioner, right? They say warranty for 5 years. Do you know how you break that warranty? If you don't follow the instructions. If you take the air conditioner and you plug it into 440 volts, is the warranty covering it? No. If you try to fix it on your own, you take a screwdriver and you try to break the side open, and you try to fix some electrical wire inside, is your warranty going to cover it? No. It's called the warranty is voided. So Prabhupada said he will protect all of us as long as we follow his instructions, including reading his books. Maybe we should take the microphone out and... He said what now? Yes, he said any problems occur because you're neglecting my instructions. Yep, that's a quote. Yeah, I mean, there's so many situations, you know, you're teaching a child not to touch fire. You're the parent, you're protecting him. But if the child won't listen, he will be burnt. But as a devotee on the path of Krishna consciousness, building up your spiritual bank account where there is never any loss or diminution, you are protected unless you commit aparad. You may make a mistake, you may look at the flame, you may think, oh, I just want to feel it a little bit. So instead of getting badly burnt, you get a little bit burnt, a little bit tinged or singed, feel the heat, but you won't get fully enveloped by the fire. In all the time that I've been in Krishna consciousness, I've seen only time people were really, really, really cast away was when they purposely, consciously disobeyed Srila Prabhupada or offended him by some nonsense philosophy or criticizing his guru. But simply somebody falling accidentally, because, you know, especially Westerners, Indians have more culture, they won't, you know, of course nowadays everybody's falling to Western stupid things, but in general, Westerners had certain tendencies. Prabhupada said he understood it, but just keep following, just keep following. I've seen devotees, one a good friend of mine, he was the architecture here, Sarabi Swami. I spoke to him one day before he left Hong Kong. I said, go to Vrindavan. He'd been outside the organization for 30 years after doing so much wonderful service. He got very ill. He came to Vrindavan with one small bag. The next day he left his body. Is that not Prabhupada's mercy? Is that not Prabhupada's miracles? That after all the illusion, all the maya, all the distractions, all the business he was doing in Southeast Asia, big fashion designer, this and that, he still came back to Vrindavan. Never lost it. Prabhupada sits there in your heart every day trying to protect you, guide you as Chaita Guru. And if we want to go out and we want to keep, like well, if Krishna loves us so much, then why did He create the material world? Why did He allow us to come here? Because you haven't read Prabhupada's books. Because we have that choice. You go down to Lloyd Bazaar, right? And you're a very strict Vaishnav. And you see some peta. Oh, let me have one peta. And it has some bacteria in it. And you come back, you eat it, you die. Because you became, you gave up, you know, the strictness. So, Prabhupada's protecting us. Unless we purposely, consciously commit aparad. Even then, Prabhupada is so merciful. He'll still, birth after birth after birth, come, try to protect us, try to help us. I hope I haven't said anything to offend anyone. I hope I haven't said anything incorrectly. I try my best to understand Srila Prabhupada's books as I read them and read so many other things to support it. You know, meaning Prabhupada said this and then I hear him actually applying it with a devotee. Like as you've mentioned, you've read certain things. You know, that the problems will occur if you neglect my instructions, right? Prabhupada said, we cannot be defeated externally. We will defeat ourselves internally because we're disobeying something. So let's read Srila Prabhupada's books. That has been what I've been stressing in every class. Right? I haven't met anybody so far in all my classes where everybody said I've read every one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Except many of my godbrothers, because like I said, it was easy for us because we were new and every few weeks a new book was coming out, so we were eagerly reading it, then another book would come out. But I would say, since then, I'm reading here and there. We didn't do it like that, flowing. The whole Bhagavatam, then the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the whole Bhagavad Gita. So, take one book, one volume. Say, I'm going to finish this. Then go to the next one. Then go to the next one. Then be very strong in your preaching. And what is so important about preaching? Who are you convincing? Huh? Yourself? Yourself, 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 and others. So preaching, I love preaching. Prabhupada said, if no one is there, preach to the four walls. So if our preaching was 100% about converting the world or changing the world, then we wouldn't be wasting our time preaching to the four walls. But not, if you're in a room, it's nice to hear the echo, because you're hearing also. Shravanam, kirtanam, kirtanam, shravanam. When you're chanting, japa. So we have to become convinced. We shouldn't waste our time going anywhere else. And I'm seeing so much of that. I saw it during my time. This is nothing new. When I first came, I came with one of the first sannyasis in ISKCON, to Vrindavan, stayed in a hut. His name was Subal Swami. He's no longer with us. He kept saying, I have to go to Radhakunda. He kept telling me, Prabhupada said, I shouldn't go back to Radhakunda and live there. Okay, you can visit, take bath, come back to Vrindavan, or go back to your service. Some devotees want to live there, they want to stay there, Radha, 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 Radha Kund. You know, we go there, we offer our respects, this is a very special place. But Prabhupada said, there are too many cheaters, there's, what do you say, Narakund? Because of so many cheaters. Smoking bidi, having three wives, convincing them they know the Swarup, the Babaji's. So he said he was going. And I said, and I was just a brahmachari. I said, I'm not going with you. Because Prabhupada said not to go there and live. We stay here, we do our service. And he went. He left the movement. Because he disobeyed Prabhupada. He actually hammered his hand on the dashboard on the car. He says, I can't listen to Prabhupada. I'm going to go anyhow. I said, whoa. You know, that's offensive. And then he kept quiet. He knew that I was taking a strong stand. He kept very quiet. He never mentioned it again until he came to Vrindavan with me. And the first day we arrived, he says, pack up, we're going to Radhakund. I said, no, not me. And I was a brahmachari. I was like his servant of a sannyas. You didn't disobey a sannyas. But I had read Prabhupada's books. I had listened to his instructions. And I said, nope. If Prabhupada said for you not to go, you think I'm going to go with you? And sure enough, he's no longer even a Vaishnav. He's in some other religion. Do not disobey. Read the books. Hear the instructions. I'm sorry I'm taking so long. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.